Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
From the Land DeGrant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It is the 25th day of September 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll learn more about the USDA Farm Program. Sign up will begin soon, but it won't end for a very long time, so don't worry about it. There is a tool that I want you to go to learn how to use on the FarmDoc Daily website or FarmDoc website. More on that later as we make our way through this edition of the Closing Market Report. We'll also talk today about the cash grain market with a farmer and Channel Seeds market specialist. That would be Matt Bennett. He's in Windsor, Illinois. And as we close out the program, we'll take a look at not only the weather forecast here in the Midwest, which frankly looks really open for harvest, but also how things are setting up in South America for the planting season in Brazil and Argentina, that with T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora. And it all happens on this Thursday edition of Illinois Public Media's Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Thursday afternoon. From the corn pit, the nearby contract down 3.5 cents at $3.26. The March at 3.39 down 3.25. And May corn at 3.47.5 down 3.25. July at 3.54 3/4, 3.25 lower as well. In December of next year, down 3 cents at $3.72.5. Soy complex bean futures 9.22 3/4. The lead option November contract 14 cents lower today. January down 13 3/4 at $9.31.5, and the March at $9.39.5. That's down 13. May futures 12 1/4 lower at $9.47 3/4, and July at $9.53 3/4, down 12 cents. November of next year, 11 cents lower at $9.43 1/4. Soybean meal finished at $3.12.40, down $4. Bean oil unchanged today at $32.62. From the live cattle pit, nearby contract, the October at $155.42.5. That was up a dime. December at $159.20, 42.5 cents higher. Live feeder cattle at $230.92.5 were 15 lower. And the September, October at $230.10, down 30 cents. And the lean hogs for the day finished $1.45 lower at $106 even in the October contract. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The crude oil for the day is now trading at $92.39 a barrel. That's 41 cents lower. Diesel fuel at $2.69 5/10 is 6/10 of a cent higher. Gasoline, the current trade in the gasoline pit, not available at this time, but natural gas trading at $3.96 7/10 is up 5 6/10 of a cent. Gasoline now at $2.70 1/2 of a cent. That's trading 4 1/10 of a cent higher. Ethanol futures are available in Chicago, and as we look for the trade there, waiting for them to load up. Well, looks like they're not going to load. There they are, 4 1/10 of a cent lower at $1.60 and 5 1/10 on their settlement price. From the outside markets, we see now the Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,893, a drop of 246 points. The gold at 1,222, about $3.50 higher. And the U.S. dollar index trading at 85.31. That's up 0.155 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. Partly sunny skies, a high of 77 degrees. Tonight, cloudy and a low of 53. Tomorrow, sunny skies and 79. Winds out of the east tomorrow at 3 to 6. They'll stay at the east tomorrow evening and clear out with a low of 55 degrees. Saturday, sunny and 79. East winds again at 7 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy and 58. Sunday, partly sunny and 79. Sunday night, cloudy and 56. The work week looks like this. Mostly sunny skies on Monday with 80 degrees as the high. Tuesday, sunny and 78, and Wednesday, mostly sunny and 77. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. We'll talk with Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago.
WILL programs are made possible by Bevere Cafe. Bevere Cafe offers versatile catering options for breakfast meetings, working lunches, or afternoon receptions. Services include a wide selection of food and beverages suited to any budget. More information is available online or at 244-2233.
Of course, we're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 25th day of September, 2014, a Thursday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason on the phone line from CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's talk about the marketplace, what you think about the trade today, and what your charts are telling you about where this marketplace might be headed and what the fundamentals might be telling you if that's something different.
Well, one thing I wanted to clear up, last week when I was visiting with you about Acres, I made the comment that the Informa group was the leader in talking about sharply lower planted acres than what USA would publish. And I need to give credit to the Golkey Group. The Golkey Group have been basically talking about lower planted acres basically since May based upon some of their survey work they did. So Jerry's been more out front on this acreage issue than anybody has been. And I just wanted to point that out. Today's market is basically reflecting ideal harvest weather. The combines are starting to spread out across the area. I mean, basically up until this week, it was pretty well confined to the far southern areas. Now we're starting to see it spread out. Still hearing excellent yield reports. So that has the trade thinking that USA is going to bump up the yield on the October report, and it's questionable whether or not USA will change acres on the October report. They have in the past, but that doesn't necessarily mean they will do it this year. They may wait till November, or they may go real slow and maybe not do any changes until you get into January. So you never know about the acreage issue, but you do know that with the yields that we're hearing is are awfully good and would probably warrant another bump up in yield expectations on the October crop report.
How much of a bump do you suppose?
Well, we're at like 172, I think, USA came out with. I think the trade is kind of in that 176 maybe. Maybe a four bushel bump up. The people that are correlating this year's record crop to the record crop that we had in 2004 and 1994 says that maybe that if we use the same percentage above trend line, we could go above 180. That's just, you know, that's just correlation from the previous crop years. I think we'll take one step at a time, but the yields are real good in the areas that really normally don't produce 200 and some bushel corn. They're producing 200 bushel corn, so that's going to bump up the national average.
And what does that tell you about the chart picture as you look forward?
Well, I've been looking at 308 on beef corn for a long time, basically since 4th of July weekend. I kind of viewed we came out of that weekend gap lower. I viewed that as the halfway point of a move measured off of the spring high there, about 517. And that would project to move down to this 508 area. And, you know, once you get to 508, you know, what's 505 or 504 or 5, you know, or I'll take that back, 308 or 305. We'll get into the low threes. If the low threes can hold it, then the next step down, the way I'm reading the chart, would be a move down to the 280s. But we have awfully wide basis levels due to the transportation mess up that we have currently in the Midwest. I understand like basis levels in the Dakotas are like a dollar and a half under. So we're already back to $1.50 type corn in some parts of the Midwest already.
Well, that is a very low price for corn over the years. Have you learned how to deal with low price corn in any particular way that helps producers make it through the process?
Well, it's going to be a rough year or two if the crop is as big as what everybody wants to make it. But the function of low prices is to discourage production and encourage demand, just the opposite of what the high prices between 07 and 2012 were when we had the $5, $6, and $7 corn. That was to increase production and cut back on demand, and now we're doing the opposite. So there's no doubt that these lower prices, I think, will stimulate demand, but stimulating demand is more of a longer-term situation than anything. We've got big crops in Europe this year. We'll see what happens in South America. We're going to have a lot of competition for corn and wheat exports. It doesn't, at least the way we look at it right now, it doesn't look like our exports are going to be as strong this coming year as they were this past year. So, but we get into the lower prices and we should see, some pickup of demand, but it does look like it's going to be a rough year or two, at least for right now, probably similar to probably what we had in the mid-'80s.
And while we have not moved large swings in the soybeans by comparison, of course, to what their limits are for the day, we have been steadily moving lower over a series of days, down another 14 cents today at $9.22¾ in the November contract. How much more downside is there in this marketplace?
Well, the next step down, I think, is step on down to the 8.875 area, but we will find some kind of benchmark support probably around the $9 area. We kind of broke underneath this 9.37. We had like three closes, real tight closes in that area. If you use that as a measuring point to swing off of last week's high or the high at 9.99 and three quarters, that would signal that we could go down as low as 7.70 or 8.75. I think that's, at least short-term objective anyway. But, there's really no bottom in it as long as producers are going to have to move a grain into the pipeline. Now, if they hold it off the market, I'd say one advantage of this slow start to harvest is that we are using a certain amount of daily grind each day. So that, takes corn away from what needs to be stored. But the weather forecast, at least for right now, sounds like we're going to really go at it here for 5 to 7 days anyway. And we'll see what kind of pressure that puts on the market as we go into probably next week.
Hey, thanks so much. Any final word from you before I let you go for the day?
You say you got an Aggie coming on after me to say hi, and maybe I'll see him in Arlington Saturday.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Have fun at the game.
Okay.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Thursday afternoon. You can always hear Dan again if you'd like on our website. The address there is willag.org. That's WILLAG. .org. Have you signed up yet for our Farm Assets Conference? I hope so, but if not, you should go to our website right now or call this number, 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 or willag.org to purchase your tickets online. Our assets conference is scheduled for the 24th day of November, the Monday before Thanksgiving. If you're used to going to the commodities conference, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, same venue, same hotel, same town, same everything, just different days. We're on Monday. The commodities conference is on Tuesday. You should use them as a back-to-back two-day event there in Normal, Illinois. For just $25, you can come to our program, and it will include keynotes on land values by U of I Extension's Bruce Sherrick, crop insurance under the new farm bill by U of I Extension's Gary Schnittke, and making the ARC PLC decision, that one by Jonathan Kappas. We'll also have marketing panels, of course, on corn, soybeans, and cash grain. 12 of our regular on-air analysts will be on hand. Lunch and parking is included. The ticket is just $25. Call 800-898-1065 or visit our website at willag.org to get your tickets today. Now, speaking of the ARC PLC decision, you know, USDA today announced the finalized farm bill regulations. And over the coming months, farmers and landowners across the nation will need to sign up for the federal farm programs related to commodities like corn, soybeans, wheat, and rice. When Congress drafted the new five-year law, it included funding to create online training tools to help producers make these decisions. The Ag Economist at the University of Illinois and colleagues from other land-grant universities have a tool ready to go. Not only that, but they're ready to teach producers how to use the tool, too. Illinois will host webinars each Friday morning from now until at least the end of October, says Jonathan Kappas.
From about 8 to 9 in the morning, we'll run a webinar to walk through the tool, walk through the analysis. As we get deeper into harvest, we're going to update kind of where things stand and pull in some of the other experts to talk about what this means for prices and kind of provide as much information for producers. Every one of those will be archived on the website, so those farmers, they're busy. We certainly get that this is going to be a busy harvest. We want to make the information, as much of it available in multiple forms and convenient for the producer. So they can tune in at 8 a.m., they can come back at night, when they're off the combine and they really want to see it, you know, there's an opportunity to do so.
It would be okay to ignore the tool for months, says the U of I Ag Policy Specialist, as farmers take care of the more important and pressing business of harvest. The webinars and the training tool will be posted to the Farm Doc website for viewing anytime, anywhere, on demand. The address of the site is farmdoc.illinois.edu. Sign up for the new farm program will close in 2015. The website is for training purposes. Sign up will take place at the local Farm Service Agency offices. Of course, we'll try to keep you up to speed here on willag.org on all of the farm program decision processes, no matter where you live in the United States. These programs that are developed in Washington, D.C., and the tools here at the U of I are good across every county across the nation. So please do visit the website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or farmdoc.illinois.edu or just willag.org, and we'll try to get you to the right places to learn about the farm program and the sign-up process. No need to hurry. Don't have to worry about it until next year. We'll try to keep you up to speed on all the decisions and what the ag economist and the policy specialist here at the U of I think producers in the Midwest and the Corn Belt in particular should be doing about the farm program. It is a five-year decision. Up next, you know, corn harvest has finished in the southern and eastern parts of Texas with generally good yields and some outstanding ones. Yields in the Gulf Coast region were between 130 and 150 bushels to the acre. AgriLife Extension agronomist Ronnie Schnell says they were even better in central Texas.
There's areas that were in the 150 to 180 range, and there's some areas that were between 180 and some right in it and just over 200 bushels.
Schnell says they are just getting started in the High Plains region.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the yields are going to look like there yet. I think some folks were able to catch some timely rains. You know, there's some that may have missed out, so just uncertain right now what it's going to look like altogether.
Schnell says the recent rains in the High Plains came a little late to help the crop. Ronnie Schnell, of course, is with AgriLife Extension. That's part of Texas A&M. It's a Thursday afternoon, time to check out what's been happening in the marketplace on the cash side. That with Matt Bennett. He's with Channel Seeds and on the combine this afternoon. I don't know whether he's harvesting corn or soybeans, but we're about to find out. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks so much. Are you in corn or beans today?
Yeah, we cut a lot of beans over the weekend, and the first couple of days this week, we ran out of dry beans, so we went back to corn here for a few days, and then we're going to get back into beans over the weekend.
And how's your corn doing today, and what's the moisture like?
Well, the corn we're in today, the full season number, and it's awfully good. I'm not going to say what it's making, but it's awfully good, and it's around about 21% moisture, so we're thrilled with what we're seeing.
Yeah, I'm guessing that awfully good has a two, maybe even a big number after that. So there have been a lot of numbers floating around that this is just not only a big crop, not just a really big crop, but something that could be enormous. What do you think about the marketplace and the cash side and what producers should consider as they're harvesting so very many bushels of corn?
Well, I think, you know, it's definitely a risk versus reward at this point. I guess you could call it a couple different things, but the way I look at it, you actually have a lot more bushels for the most part. A lot of guys didn't believe, maybe the yield checks didn't believe they'd have this huge crop. A lot of guys didn't maybe sell near as much as what they needed to, but bottom line, as far as the cash market goes, it's looking pretty rough right now. Basis doesn't look to be improving. I don't know that I would get too carried away if I had storage. I might go ahead and I definitely want to use all storage, sell the carry in the market, but I wouldn't get too beat up, especially on soybeans. You know, some of the yields these guys are pulling off, even if they're selling them at $9, I have a hard time believing the guys aren't making money. Yields what that I'm hearing. So, you know, I don't think that all is lost, and there's certainly worse things than taking 260 bushels of corn.
Certainly. So let's talk about the beans just a minute. You're not too worried about that. Would you be, I mean, if you just simply needed to store the corn and you were running across the scale with the beans, didn't have small bins you were putting it in, would you sell it across the scale?
Well, I think with the beans, you know, the thing that I'm going to say is that they're still carrying the bean market as well. But, you know, I guess I'm just not too friendly to the bean market. I think the corn market could hang in there, but I'm afraid the beans, you know, might have another, who knows, dollar down.
And what's your best set of advice for a producer at this point?
Well,
corn.
I would say as far as corn goes, I definitely, like I said, I want to store everything depending on cash needs. If I know I'm going to need money this fall, I go ahead and maybe market a little bit. But I do think there will be a little bounce back in the market, maybe after the first of the year, led by the new crop, because I think we're going to have to buy a few acres. So that might be something that would actually drag the cash up a little bit, even with huge supply.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Matt Bennett is with TGM and Channel Seeds, actually. He's in Windsor, Illinois. Joins us on the closing market report for this Thursday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the weather forecast.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
It's National Crab Newberg Day. It's also National Food Service Workers' Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1843, Melville Reuben Bissell was born. Bissell invented the carpet sweeper in 1876 to sweep up dust from his wife's crockery shop in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dust from the packings had been affecting his wife's health. In 1846, Peter Kalpin was born. A German meteorologist and climatologist, he played a major role in the advancement of both sciences. And the climate classification system he developed remains popular today because it uses easily obtained data. In 1879, the cream separator was patented. Before milk cream separators, cream was separated from milk by letting the milk sit until the cream floated to the top and then could be skimmed off by hand. In 1974, it was first reported that Freon from aerosol cans was destroying the ozone layer above the Earth. And in 1985, William Cumming Rose died, an American biochemist. He researched amino acids and established the importance of the 8 essential amino acids in human nutrition. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's the 25th day of September, Thursday afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason. Mike Tenora is here to take up the weather forecast. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. Will producers, Mike, over the next week have open weather for harvest across the Corn Belt?
It looks like they'll have great weather over the next 5 to 7 days. We're looking for temperatures that will generally peak out in the mid-70s over the next 5 to 7 days, which is a little bit above the averages, which right now should be in the upper 60s. So we're looking for some great weather as far as temperatures go. As far as rainfall, we're not looking for very much in the way of that either. Looks like some real dry weather here over the next 5 to 7 days as areas of high pressure suppress rainfall. And then as we move into later next week, beginning Tuesday, Wednesday in the plains, and more so Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of next week across the Corn Belt, tend to moisten things up just a little bit as we start to see some areas of rainfall happen. We're now looking for very heavy rainfall with that system, but it looks like a solid half-inch to one-inch event is forthcoming to a pretty large portion of the corn and soybean belt. So at that point, we'll start to see corn and soybean harvesting slow, and winter wheat planting will also slow at that time as well.
Speaking of sowing and planting in South America, they should be beginning that process now. How are they set up?
Well, the rainy season begins over the next 4 to 6 weeks across interior areas of Brazil, and we did see our first round of significant rainfall over the last 24 hours. That's important because in Brazil, you need to have rain fall so you can plant because they're very dry throughout their winter, which is now coming to a close. So they saw that big rain over the last 24 hours. We'll start to see soybean planting begin across interior Brazil. And the climate turns wetter almost every week right on through November. So we do look for rains to increase in frequency and intensity over the next 2 months. And because of that, planting season in Brazil at this point is looking pretty good for both soybeans and corn. The one issue we do have to keep an eye out on in Brazil regards the southern areas where wheat is grown. Wheat is being harvested now, and we're seeing very heavy rainfall, at least very heavy rainfall chances over the next 5 to 10 days. Looks like a solid 2.5 to 5 inches of rain is forthcoming to that region, and that's way above normal. So wheat quality could decline in southern areas of Brazil. As we move into Argentina, though, no real big problems there. They've been real moist over the last 30 to 60 days. It dried out a little bit now. Temperatures stay fairly mild, and sunflower planting is underway. It looks like great conditions for sunflower planting over the next week or so. And corn planting begins in October, and soil moisture will not be a significant issue as long as it does not turn too wet. And at this point, it looks like it'll stay pretty seasonable with dry weather this week and then turning a little wetter later on next week.
Mike, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it today.
Thank you, and have a great day.
You too. Mike Tenora, of course, is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois, and joins us on the Closing Market Report. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L-A-G.org. That wraps it up. I'm Todd Gleason.